Well, hello, this is Jim from the offside.com, bringing you the third Plymouth Argyle podcast. Hi, how you doing? I hope you're all well out there, including my transatlantic listeners, of which I gather I have at least one, which is fantastic news that the message of Plymouth Argyle has reached as far away as the United States. I don't know if you know, the offside is it's one of those international blog sites, and if you go and have a hunt around, there's people blogging on all sorts of peculiar teams. I found it very strange that there's no one, for example, blogging about Sheffield United, but the Colorado, I can't even say the word, the Colorado Rapids have a blog, which is it's kind of a little upside down as far as I'm concerned. But it has something to say, I think, perhaps about the way that following football is going, and it's kind of segues not so very comfortably into what I really kind of wanted to talk about today. I didn't really want to do a sort of truncated match report from Tuesday's 4-1 win over Colchester, and nor did I want this time to do a preview because, actually there isn't a whole lot to say. There's a few injuries, there's a little bit of stomach bug around, but essentially, we know what the score is. I really wanted to talk a little bit more tonight about, what is this business of fandom all about? Why am I an Argyle fan? Why is, whoever it is, a Colorado Rapids fan? And more importantly, I get into trouble. I have this kind of, propensity to get into trouble, whether it's in my working life, whether it's in stuff I do outside of work, or whether it's kind of on the internet. And I've been getting into trouble over not very recently because I kind of lost heart a bit, but did get into a bit of trouble over a blog site called The Run of Play, which possibly I mentioned before. I can't quite remember. But this guy wrote a very articulate article about how the nature of fandom was possibly changing, and that all kind of wrapped up with the whole Game 39 thing and this business that actually the whole football ethos was being driven to some degree by the overseas markets and the chase for fans in new clubs, and people who hadn't been soccer fans before kind of picking it up and running with it. And on one level, that's absolutely fine, except for the fact that, well, two things really that kind of wound me up. Firstly, it's quite hard to find a new football fan who decides that the team they want to follow from now until their dying days is Plymouth Argyle. Invariably, it's Chelsea, it's Man United, it's AC Milan, it's Juve, it's Barca, it's Real Madrid. And, I'd like to see the new fan pot perhaps spread a little bit more generously than that. I don't see why. Well, I do see why, clearly. I'm not stupid. I understand perfectly the reasons why people gravitate towards the biggest teams. I just think that, well, frankly, they shouldn't. And actually, there are some clubs out there that could really use some overseas support and some interest from beyond their immediate borders. But that is in direct opposition to my second kind of objection to this, which is how can you possibly just pick a team to follow? I just don't get it. And this was kind of what got me into trouble, because I was getting on my high horse, as I'm prone to do, and saying, look, it isn't about, do they play nice football, or do they have a cute kit, or did you watch them sometime when this special girl you were with, all the kind of interesting reasons that people come up with for this. So that actually, it's about where you're from. Let's cut to the chase here. You follow a football team because it's where you're from, and if there's any other reason, it's kind of not as good. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm aware I'm offending people out here, but that's the bottom line. Because it's where you're from, and I'm from here, and that is why I follow Argyle, and why I always have done, and why I always will. No other reason. They are my team. They're part of my culture. They're part of my community. They're part of my identity. And I don't understand this idea. As people were saying in these comments, and it was getting quite heated, really. People lost their tempers with me, and saying, I used to follow Juve, but now I follow Milan because, I've got disillusioned with the way Juve play. And there was a lot of articulate and well-argued stuff about the purity of the football and the whole business of the beautiful game and getting into the moment and all of that sort of stuff, which, yeah, on one level, I can perfectly appreciate that it's footballer's art and it has a beauty and a timelessness and a kind of kind of Geist all of its own. But actually, sorry, that's just gibberish, really, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's about where you're from. It's about your identity. It's about who you are. And it's about hooking into the history of that culture as well and saying, blimey, actually, this terrace where I stand, or where I used to stand before they bolted seats on it, you know, I'm in a river of tradition here. You know, there are people from 100 years ago who have also stood here, or you know, have a long terrace been there. You get my drift. That you're part of a continuum. That I'm from the West Country, from Cornwall and Plymouth, and these people have come up on the train from Cornwall and Plymouth 50 years ago to stand and watch Chisholm and Alex Govan and Tadman and all those players, and even before that, you know, the fact that Michael Foot occasionally still sits in the stand when Peter Jones brings him down, you know, and is there and can talk about watching Black and Jack Leslie and those guys and Moses Russell from the 20s. Plymouthian and me, also Cornishman, hooking into this, we're in part, we belong together. This stuff is a shared heritage because of who we are, because of where we come from. Now, I don't want to get all Little Englander about this and turn it into kind of a sort of quasi-nationalistic crusade, because it's not. And the point being is that I absolutely, utterly, completely understand and respect people who come from other parts of the country who follow their team for where they're from. For example, on Tuesday night, I took my mate Clive, who's a fantastic guy and very knowledgeable and is a Leeds United fan. Now, you know, what I have to say about Leeds United is unbroadcastable, but Clive's from Leeds and Clive is a Leeds fan, and that's that. End of story. Then, you know, of course I can tease him about Don Revy and Ken Bates and all of that stuff, but at the end of the day, he's Leeds and that's that. And I have total and utter and complete respect for that. And the people I find it harder to have total and utter and complete respect for are the guys who say, well, I used to be Juve, but now I'm Milan, or I used to be Arsenal, but now I'm Chelsea, which, you know, have a dig around. You'll find them. They're out there. And, you know, on the one hand, yeah, there's all this stuff about, oh, well, it's the beautiful game, and anything that people want to do to be involved in the beautiful game is a beautiful thing. Yes, but actually, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm overplaying this. You know, what do you think? Email me and let me know. Plymouth@theoffside.com. I don't know. I struggle to find sympathy, really, for people who. And not just because I'm getting all puristic about it, but because it actually impacts, you know, the fact that Plymouth Street still have too many kids with Chelsea and Man United shirts on has a direct impact on Argyle's revenue. Of course it does. And I'm not blaming them. It's not their fault. But the expectations of the young football supporter nowadays, I'm aware I'm rambling a bit, and that's kind of the point. The expectations of the young football supporter these days, you know, have been set at a completely different level. You know, it's about instant success. It's about instant gratification. It's about, you know, seeing the best quality football that money can possibly buy. And I think there is a parallel to be drawn there with some of the societal trends that are going on. Actually, the nature of our culture now is that everything is available on demand. However expensive it is, doesn't matter. You can have it straight away. And if you can't have it, then you know, there is something seriously, seriously amiss. And it's legitimate to complain and get wound up about it. And you know, I think that tends to make for a fundamentally dissatisfied and miserable bunch of people. And I think that's wrong. And I'm very tempted, and I'm resisting hard here the temptation, you know, to draw a theological point here, which is to say that, you know, however much you have, you're never ultimately going to be satisfied. And in football terms, I mean, that's okay. You know, because it's the drive to keep improving and to be better than you are. And I'm not saying anything about that at all. But I think in the supporters set, you know, you could run into trouble there. You know, actually, you can end up saying it's not worth going or it's not worth being a part of unless we're pulling in trophies, unless we're in the Premiership and looking like we're going to challenge for Europe, unless, you know, we're spending 5, 10, 15 million on a player. And, you know, I have some questions about where that ends up, I think. Gosh, We're deep today, aren't we? My goodness. What has all of that got to do, though, with Plymouth Argyle, which is, after all, what I'm supposed to be talking to you about? I think the answer is that it taps into a debate that's been going on at our club for a while about the level of ambition that it's reasonable for the club to have and the level of expectation it's reasonable for the supporters to have. Now, I don't want to get into a whole sort of pro-board, anti-board thing right now, because that debate has been raging elsewhere, and to be honest, I think now it's got a bit sterile and it's got a bit pointless. I mean, we're in the most exciting season we've had at this level, at least for 20 years, and you're possibly the most exciting we've ever had in our history at this level. And it seems a bit futile to start debating whether Stapleton should or should not be seeking to attract new investment, though that is a legitimate question and one which should be debated, and I hope will be debated at the end of the season. But what is going to qualify as success, and what are we going to feel like at the end of the season? I think the bottom line is that we're still very much an outside bet to make the playoffs, I would say. Looking at the teams around us, I think we're still very much an outside bet to go up. And I think it's absolutely right that the fans should be getting excited and should be seeing that now you're going to believe this thing and really starting to believe, because I don't think you can do it unless you actually believe you are, and that the way the fans feel transmits itself to the players and the whole club and all of that. And I also think it's right that the club should have a right go, and please read that as saying, can we get some more loan signings in, because I think we need a couple. I think above all we need a creative central midfielder, because I don't think Sandal's going to make it, as he's barely kicked a ball and certainly hasn't kicked a ball for the first team since he's been here. You know, we need someone, not Kavanagh, but like Kavanagh. Someone who can sit and spray. Oh, yeah, like Bizaki. Anyway, moving on. We need a central midfielder. And it sounds odd, but I'm wondering whether we need a striker as well. Yeah. But, so yeah, a couple of loan signings. Definitely please to show some ambition. Possibly with a view to turning them into full deals. I thought Gary Teal was a revelation on Tuesday night. I know I said I wasn't going to do a match report, but I thought the consistency of the ball into the box was something we haven't seen for a very long time. And if he can keep that up, then I think, yeah, we absolutely have a chance. And I think as long as we've got a chance, as long as we keep going, you know, someone worked it out, it's six more wins. And we've got five home games left. It's not impossible. And we've got to keep dreaming. But at the end of the day, if we come seventh, how are we going to feel? And what's going to happen to us next season? How Mosey will go? At least one of the centre-backs will go. Maybe we won't be able to hang on to Teal. Maybe, you know, some of our other better players are going to think, what's going to happen to Timar, for example, or Sipe? We're going to need a more or less a new midfield, because Halmosi will have gone and Nalis would have retired. And, you know, as much as I love him, I'm not persuaded that Jimmy Abdu is the permanent answer to be first choice central midfielder. So we need a new midfield. Easter and McLean up front, maybe, maybe not. We're probably going to need at least one new striker. You know, there's a lot of work to do, is my point, I think. And fans' expectations, you know, for the first time next year, I'm talking now season 08-09, we are likely to do worse than we have done this year. The year-on-year improvement is almost certainly going to come to an end with that season. And how is the club going to manage that? And how are the fans going to manage that? And what, most importantly, is going to happen to our revenue streams? The main one of which, by far, is attendance money. What happens to Argyle's future if the fans are disillusioned, if the club, you know, is struggling, as teams that just miss out on the playoffs, you know, have a rather nasty tendency to do? Big questions. I don't have answers to them. And I, in some respects, of course, I don't want to be thinking about them. All I want to be thinking about is, can we beat Sheffield United and keep this unlikely, this crazy, this very bizarre dream still going? I'm looking anxiously over my shoulder at Hull, who are 2 points behind us with a game in hand. I'm going to be keeping half an eye on the Ipswich score and the Burnley score and the Wolves score. It's, can I say, hell, it's exciting. It's a good deal more exciting. I have to say this, it's a good deal more exciting than last year's cup run, because it ain't over yet. Happy days. Happy days. If you're going to the match tomorrow and you sit in or near the press box in the grandstand, come and say hi. If you're going to the match next week at Bristol City, similarly so, I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. Be safe, be lucky, keep it green.